You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Our current quite long serial is The Bromances, the third Belladonna University story. We're up to episode 12. If you haven't listened to the story so far, you might want to go back to episode 1 and get started. The previous Belladonna University stories, Fake Geek Girl and Unmagical Boy story, are also available here on the podcast, or available to download, either free or cheap, depending on where you get them. People who sign up to my Patreon get them completely for free. Okay, episode 12. Sage has never taken a boy home before, but don't start thinking this means anything, okay? I came off that gig sweating and thirsty, fired up like I'd never been before. I almost had the shape of that song now. Could feel it beating its way out from the inside of my ribcage. And I knew where I was going to find it. Sure I did. Because the song that had been driving me up the wall all week, it started when I first admitted to myself that coming back to Mandrake Sands, it was going to stir some shit up. So, I needed a broomstick, and I needed a friend. Holly disappeared straight after the show, and when I saw her again, she was getting her flirt on with her fans, tossing her hair high off the performance, or maybe some extracurricular charm. Who was I to guess? Juniper was still enjoying her bizarre personality bypass, right at Holly's side. I guess they made up whatever their weird non-fight was all about. Deck and Vale had disappeared somewhere. Where did all my mates end up in, like, serious relationships? May hadn't even made it to the show. Her serious relationship with her mirror was ongoing. Hebe had the decency to come and say hi before she and Ferd went off to get naked together for like the third or maybe fifth time today. They'd been sitting in each other's laps as we played our souls out on the stage. Now they came up to pat me on the back and ruffle my hair, getting their hands good and sweaty in the process. That was so great, Hebe breathed in my ear. Too noisy for her to be anything but close. Yeah, I said hoarsely. Not much voice left. You two good? Of course, said Ferd, slinging an arm around Hebe's shoulders. Fine, said Hebe, smiling warmly. My Hebe has the best smile in the known universe. No one can match that smile of hers. This wasn't it. Okay, that's it, I snapped, grabbing her hand and then his. Come on, let's get this sorted. The song beating in my chest and my head was about to come out of me all messy, and I didn't have time to stop and deal with this bullshit, but I could see the future unfolding like a flying carpet crash with safety charms disabled. I didn't have the time and energy to spend a month watching these two drag their way through the slowest breakup in history either, so a couple of tents away from the main stage, it was quieter, so I could hear Ferd and Hebes protesting at me above the sound of the imaginary beat. Right, truth bombs, brace yourselves. Sage, you can't just shove your paws into my relationship, Hebe snapped. Fair. I don't even, started Ferd and then stopped. Less convincing. Let's make this fast, I said. Ferd, mate, when Hebe and I broke up, she didn't admit she was upset about it for more than 6 months. And when she did, it wasn't to me. Hebe opened her mouth and then shut it again. That's fair, she admitted. Ferd had a look on his face like he was just now figuring out something very important. Yeah. Babe, I told her, I love you. But you're shit at admitting when you're not okay. Just because Holly's a drama queen doesn't mean you have to be a couch cushion that everyone sits on, you know? Hebe glared at me, which was the most fire I'd seen out of her all weekend. You think I'm a couch cushion? Who is the couch in this scenario? Wondered Ferd. I leaned in and gave him a sweaty, smacking kiss on the cheek. Then one for Hebe too. Just show each other the messy parts, yeah? I'm all for fucking your way through your problems and pretending they're not there. That's totally my brand. But you two are way smarter than me. Right? Then I realised I'd moved on to giving them advice on their sex life, and that meant it was really time to back the hell off. There was a broomstick calling me. You and me, Bruce, the night wasn't over yet. Who died and made you the boyfriend police? Hebe yelled after me, but she was laughing, so maybe I'd done some good there. I was out of companions to join me on my magical mystery tour of feelings and tragic backstory. But that was probably how it should be. I talked a good game, but no one wanted to see my messy parts right now. I considered swinging past that coffee truck, see if Hot Goth Boy was still serving this late. And how pathetic was that? A light flirting session did not make him my friend. I was on my own. So yeah, I wasn't exactly in the best of moods when I stormed into our campsite to find Jules fucking Nightshade with his hands all over my broom. What the hell do you think you're doing to Bruce? He jumped, shocked by my presence, and then pulled his usual frosty snark over himself like a cloak. I'm getting out of here. I didn't want to come in the first place. So he hadn't been intending to keep our miracle workers date either. I didn't know whether to laugh or be pissed off. Oh, apparently I was pissed off. Hey, it's not my fault you have no free will where your friends are concerned, I growled, leaning into his space and snatching my broom directly from his grasp. His eyes flashed. Excuse me? Were you suggesting I'm the one who doesn't set boundaries with his friends? You live with yours like some hippie commune fake family sitcom. That was fair. Come on, I said, and shoved Holly's broom at him. Hers was in the best condition, because we mostly never let her use it. You want to fly? Fly with me. Nightshade arched an eyebrow perfectly, like he was some kind of old-school film star. Where are we going? He didn't say no. Something told me I was going to regret this, but not yet. Not till morning. Trust me, I said. And what do you know? He did. We flew about 15 minutes inland from Mandrake Sands, across some very familiar airways. Farming land. The ground all patchwork like something out of old paintings. He was good in the air, of course. When it came to magic, Jules Nightshade is the only person I've ever met who has anything like my raw power. He left frost patterns in the air. His proximity made my power spark up. Hungry. Thirsty. No coffee for either of us in the last several hours. We wouldn't be able to drive these babies if we had, so this was going to get explosive. It was getting dark, the sky curling up at its edges. I found the creek and swooped up the length of it, Nightshade in my tailwind. He overtook me, grinning, like this was a drag race, like he knew where we were going. First genuine I'm having fun smile I'd seen on his face all weekend, though I'd seen a lot of I am pretending to have fun grimaces. Down, I said, and dropped hard, ducking under his flight path. We'll want to be near the ground before we reach that line of trees. He cupped his ear like he hadn't heard me, but he followed as I ran lower and lower. Half a metre from the tree line, my feet brushed the dusty ground, and I jogged lightly to a standstill, Bruce powering down. Nightshade kept going, circling around, and I saw his mistake a second before it happened. He wasn't that far up when he fell, only 4 metres or so, but it was enough to jolt the breath out of him. He threw himself to his feet straight away like a cat pissed off that you saw it slide off the back of the couch. What the fuck was that? This is Cersei Creek, I said, huffing out a laugh, but not at him. For a moment, I'd been scared that I got him hurt. Hilarious. Hang on, I know that name. Nightshade stared around the trees, at the paddocks. Did you drag me all this way to the town that ate magic? Do they still call it that? His gaze raked the tree line, spotting the curse stones, where they'd been placed nearby, within sight of another and another further up the nearest hill. Magic repelling spells. containing the whole small town and surrounding farms, for about 400 acres. So are you planning to murder me, or is this a booty call? Would you believe neither? I clapped him on the shoulder, more of a bro gesture than we'd ever shared before. Congrats, Nightshade, I'm taking a tour down memory lane. You get a front seat ticket to the wallowing and the angst. He stared at the cursed stone. You grew up here. Here? I shrugged. Didn't even know I had magic till my aunt moved me to the city when I was 13. Nightshade's eyes bugged out. But you're... you! You have so much magic. Like, stupid amount. Yeah. First wet dream in the new flat, I blew the power in the whole street. He didn't laugh. I guess it wasn't that funny. Wanna come watch me write something obscene on the town hall? Nightshade hugged himself. If you think I'm setting foot inside the ward set by this magic-hating, witch-murdering town of yours, you're dumber than most drummers, and that's saying something. Well, if you put it like that. The appeal of visiting my old haunts melted away. I looked at Nightshade instead, really looked at him. He was pale and drawn, no longer pretending to be the life of the party. I don't think it was just the prospect of sleeping under damp canvas for another night. So how has your weekend been going? It's been shit, actually, he said distinctly. Chauvelin wanted to come here after... But it was a mistake. Is Ferd Chauvelin the reason you've been pretending to have a good time? His eyes flashed at me. You didn't think it was for your benefit. Well, that was a relief. So this isn't a stalk and seduce your ex mission? Nightshade laughed at that. A short, sharp sound. Wow! And I thought I'd escaped total humiliation this evening. I'm kidding, mate. We weren't mates. Hadn't been anywhere near friends, but maybe we should be. We came from different worlds, but we had a hell of a lot in common when we weren't ripping each other's clothes off. We shared way too many friends to ignore each other for the rest of our lives. What have you got to lose by telling me? I said. It's not my story to tell. He huffed impatiently as I waggled my eyebrows at him. You're so juvenile. Didn't stop you wanting to lick my abs. But no, that was old Sage and Jules. I was trying something else here. Sorry. Start again. Both his eyebrows went up this time. Apologies. We are turning over a new leaf. Nightshade. He relented. Chauve's family are... I mean, I never thought of them as warm. Warmer than my parents, but that's not saying much. My mother was carved out of a sarcasm iceberg, and my dad makes her look cuddly by comparison. But his family? They all used to be so happy, and now they treat him like... He trailed off, lost for words. I grunted in sympathy and waved a hand at the curse markers. Like this town treats witches? Yes. Like they might catch something from him. What the fuck? He lost his magic in a freak lab accident. It's not like he married a stripper or groped the maid or something. I blinked. Wow, there is so much wrong with that sentence, and also with you. Nightshade continued. We didn't even make it to brunch. Got a heads up from one of his cousins that we were walking into an intervention, not a reunion. I guess the parents had been scheming together. Ours, his. They weren't up to date exactly with how Vale and I are, you know, here. Yeah. Jules Nightshade and Viola Vale had frozen Ferd out after the accident that took his magic, or he'd frozen them out. I never really got the full story. He changed his university allegiances, made new friends, found Hebe. It was only the last few months that he'd reconnected with his old friends. And we'd all ended up tangled up in each other. You needed mind map software, or at least a chalk diagram, to unravel the complex dating and screwing connections between Ferd's old friends and new. They thought we'd help them, Jules said bitterly. Get him to sign on the dotted line for surgical experiments. All for the incredibly slim possibility he can return to his old life without them having to change the way they think about anything, you know? So we bailed. I was hoping we'd spend the weekend clubbing or binge eating to get his mind off it, but no. Chauve and Vale wanted to come here, be with their sweeties. He glared at me. You and me, we're done. I'm not trying to stealth reverse the breakup or whatever. Chauve wanted to be with Hebe. The end. So what makes this different to all the other times we broke up and jumped back into bed together over the last couple of months? I had to ask. What changed? Nightshade gave me the frostiest of glares. Believe it or not, I decided I want a boyfriend who actually likes me. Ha! Huh. Wow. Whole night of truth bombs. It's fine, I shrugged, shoving down the small stab of completely deserved hurt. Believe it or not, I don't spend my days thinking about you and me and what could have been. Join the club, he said, with a sour note that made me take a second look. Jules Nightshade looked wrecked. The good news was, I apparently wasn't the reason for it. But now I was paying attention to something other than how good his mouth tasted on mine. Well, some pieces clicked into place. The way he spoke about Hebe. Look, Ferd Chauvelin, he's a good bloke. He could be a wanker sometimes when the silver-dipped wand starts to show, but he made an effort to break the worst of his rich boy programming. Treats Hebe with respect, and he's on my all-time flatmates who don't suck list. I've even booted Deck off that list months ago when I found clay in the fridge for the 14th time. So, I liked Ferd. But the bloke could be super oblivious. He hadn't even noticed his girlfriend was fighting with him. He also hadn't noticed Jules was miserable about being here this weekend, but came anyway. Yeah. Speaking of oblivious. How much of an idiot was I for not spotting before now that Jules Nightshade, shallow, hyper-privileged, magical genius, asshole extraordinaire, was completely fucked up over his straight best friend? That must suck, I said aloud. Jules looked at me, annoyed. What? Nothing, mate. Damn it. I'd been so sure I needed to shove Jules out of my life, but now... The poor bastard clearly needed more than two friends. I think this is the first real conversation we've ever had, I observed. He leaned against a tree, recovering some of his usual poise. Yes, you should take me to scary, isolated murder sites more often. Be fair. I don't think anyone's been murdered in this town since the summer before I left, I said, and waggled my eyebrows at him. He snorted. I will pay you not to tell me that story. After a minute, I realized he was staring at me expectantly. What? Jules waved a hand. Aren't you planning to, I don't know, wallow in nostalgia while you walk up and down the tiny three-horse town that deprived you of magic for the first 13 years of your life? Isn't that why we're here? Well, that was the original plan. Changed my mind, I said aloud. I'm going to not, and say I did. Let's go find a pub and get blitzed. Jules Nightshade smiled slowly. I guess you are the smartest drummer that I know. I was going to friend the hell out of this bloke. He wouldn't know what hit him. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. If you like this podcast, consider supporting it at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, exclusive stories and ebooks for a small monthly pledge. One of those Patreon rewards is the Fake Geek Girl prequel story, The Alchemy of Fine, which is out now. You can go download it from Patreon if you're a supporter at $2 a month or higher. So don't miss out. This story is exclusive to the Patreon supporters. It gives you a chance to check in on the origin stories of Sage, Hebe, Holly and Juniper and how the band got together. Okay, see you next week. We're getting into the thick of it now. I promise The Juniper storyline is going to be resolved soon. I know there's been some worry and some tension. In retrospect, I didn't think through that this was, that I'd be keeping you guys on tenterhooks for quite so long. Everything's going to be okay. I'll see you next week.